Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Adi, third hour, Tiki and Tierney coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage Wednesday across the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. Mr. Fulton Yevitz is getting ready to step onto that slab and start throwing some meaningful pitches. Dexter Fowler getting ready to dig in. Game 5, the Braves and the Birds. And I showed Tiki the Phil Negro video from 85 when he got his 300th win. He looks the same.
It was unbelievable,
looked
though.
The same.
He was 47 years old, BT.
Yep.
He threw a complete game. I didn't know what you were showing me. I thought it was middle of, I don't know, fifth or sixth inning.
Yeah.
It was the ninth inning.
Yeah, Phil Rizzuto was on the call. That was at the what do they call that? That was before Sky Rogers Center, before Sky Dome. It was the where the hell did the Blue Jays used to play? That old ballpark. Oh, now it's going to drive me nuts. I don't want to know. Damaso Garcia, George Bell. Oh, I can see it, too. What was the name of the stadium, D-Cell? I'm just forgetting it right now.
No idea.
It was such a weird configuration, too. It was turf. Matter of fact, I think the first game they ever played, they had a lot of snow. I remember 1977, I think they were born. What was the name of the stadium? Toronto. How long does that take?
Google's slow. All the computers in here are slow. But interesting because this is a game five. It's interesting when you think about like closeout games in sports because we always talk about it in hockey,
mm-hmm.
how it feels like intense. Mm-hmm. Baseball is not. It's not the same. I think because the action is slower. But for whatever reason, this series feels.
Oh, it's intense for fans. Let me just parachute in on that.
But from out,
every pitch is torture.
You can feel it though in hockey, even from behind the television screen. Now maybe because there's no sound, we don't hear any of the ambiance or anything. But this series is interesting because it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You don't have an edge on who's winning this one, Cardinals and the Braves. But it's on, and now we get a chance to peep it out while we do the rest of the show.
Listen, the Redbirds are a great franchise, and they have been forever. You know, Stan Musial, the 80s team with Whitey Herzog. I mean, the most recent additions, champions. They're great. They're a great franchise. I'd like to see the Braves. I want to see Acuna. I want to see Acuna play another couple of weeks of baseball. And that's not to diminish, you know, whether it's Goldschmidt or some of their good young players. Mm-hmm. I just want to see him on another big stage for a little bit.
Yeah,
here's
the question, though. If either one of these teams get through, do they have a chance? You know,
they have a chance, sure.
And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It just feels like everybody has a chance. Anybody and everybody that's left has a chance to mm-hmm. win the World Series. It's not – and maybe because of the Rays, what they did to the Astros the last – two games in game three where they destroyed them. Was it 10-3 in that game? And then obviously last night, winning 4-1. You asked me at the beginning of the postseason, there's no way that the Rays are hanging 14 runs in 2 days on the Houston Astros.
Baseball, especially Verlander.
Yeah, you're
you
right.
Think maybe if Miley got a start,
right.
Greinke wasn't good.
You're right.
Which he wasn't. But
he wasn't, but he was good all season.
Yeah. I mean, but to have Verlander go out there, and they, you know, this complicates their series, if they're lucky enough to move on and win Game 5 tomorrow in advance against the Yankees, and I said this at the outset, while Verlander was great in Game 1 and Cole was even better in Game 2, he had the 15 strikeouts,
mm-hmm.
they went to their bullpen a lot, you know, and they've, you know, five here, five relievers, one game, five. When you have back-to-back starts of 3 2/3 innings,
yeah.
you're going to tax your bullpen. So I don't know if they're lucky enough to win. There will be, at least for Game 1, you would think, in theory, a diminished Astros team showing up.
Yeah, to the Yankees.
Take on the Yankees.
Yeah, you're right. Which is good for the Yankees.
Which is good for the Yankees. That's right. So, we've got Warren Moon coming up next here, NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. Boy, what would Warren Moon be with the rules today? Just look at Warren Moon's stats someday
mm-hmm.
and understand, I think it was age 28. By the way, I think it was Exhibition Stadium. Finally came to me. That was going to bother me the rest of the show. Oh, it was Exhibition Stadium, right, D-Cell?
He can't find it still.
I'll take your word for it. I'm still looking for it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What search engine are you using? Stones tablets?
Yeah, but let's go with Exhibition Center.
It's no, not Exhibition Center, Exhibition Stadium. What the hell was I saying now? Exhibition Stadium.
Warren
I
Moon.
Knew that. That
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon. If you have Warren Moon, right?
Who, yep.
And look this up. What was he, 28 when he came up? He was not young kid. Had a play in Canada. We know his route, which was obviously very extraneous based on the skin color and the belief that black quarterbacks just, you couldn't give them the keys to the operation. We know that for a long time. He was such a prolific, great passer.
He was.
Imagine if he's throwing today with these rules.
With these rules, with his ability not to be hit. He's a big guy. He doesn't seem like it if you remember watching him on TV. But he's a big dude. So he's more like Big Ben than I think a lot of people would think. And you put his total passing yards together from not just the NFL but from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not even close.
No, it's obliterates the record book.
How many yards he threw for in Canada? But it was a different era, and
yep.
It's kind of what we talked about earlier in the show, BT. The different era of quarterbacks. And the National Football League, and how it's a good thing in a sense because the game is evolving, it's catching up, it's getting faster. It's more like, but a little bit more like the college game where you play with pace, right? And your advantage is pace. If you're an inferior team, you play with pace, and it catches the opposing team off guard. But there's so many inconsistencies. One thing you could count on with the old era of quarterbacks, and that's even the older guys now,
mm-hmm.
is it was consistent.
Yeah.
You knew what you were getting on a week-in and week-out basis. Currently, now with some of these guys, I have no idea.
That's a really good point because what you see, we talked about the volatility in the standings, really, week to week, and
mm-hmm.
you reference how the Packers, their run defense got chewed up by the Eagles two Thursdays ago, and then the Packers' rush offense did that to the Dallas Cowboys
right.
this past week, and every week you really don't know which team is showing up, but I think it's interesting. Wow, Cardinals on the board already? That score run right there?
Yep.
Yeah, it did. Cardinals are humming already. Cardinals, wow. I got a couple of guys on base. There's only one out. Redbird's up one zip, first and second, one out. So Fulton Yevitz is not going to be around very long. He's going to be hitting the shower pretty soon because he looks like he's very flat. But the performance by quarterbacks, independent of rush defense and team performance, it seems that these young kids, like when they're good, they're great.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
Baker. But when they're bad, think about some of the – Baker Mayfield was horrendous this past Monday night.
It's true.
Lamar Jackson threw three picks the last game against
yep.
the Steelers. Like, when they're bad, they're really bad.
Somehow they still won, which is
well, because they got the gift call,
right.
the ridiculous penalty.
That's right. And
Tucker?
Not Tucker. I'm trying to think. Rudolph got knocked out of the game.
Yep.
So they're now on the third-string quarterback who started the season, probably on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they got a little bit fortunate that – the Steelers didn't have a viable third-string quarterback. But who does?
Exactly. I know my team doesn't.
Who does?
I watch Luke Falk play every week.
You know, it's like the only guy who doesn't do that, even in weeks of bad weeks, is the MVP from last season, Pat Mahomes. Because even when Pat Mahomes has a bad day,
mm-hmm.
he's still throwing for 300 yards and, maybe a touchdown, even though he did have a couple weeks ago. He didn't throw for
against
a touchdown
Detroit.
For the first time against Detroit.
But he doesn't make mistakes.
You're right. He's not inconsistent in that regard. He's inconsistent sometimes as a team, or at least they are inconsistent as a team, but they're not, don't lay an egg. Some of these other younger quarterbacks, you get eggs laid, and that's why it's so frustrating and unpredictable in the NFL this year.
T-Cell, do you have something there, pal? Go ahead.
Well, just a thought here, like you were saying, Zeke, these young quarterbacks tend to, have a bad game sporadically. They're not consistent.
Yep.
That's why once you get your franchise quarterback or who you feel can be your franchise quarterback, as a franchise, can you take a deep breath saying, we have our quarterback, now we can be successful?
It's just the beginning of it. It's just the beginning of it. And it's no different than looking at what Carson Palmer told us yesterday with the Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford, right? If Matt Stafford had consistency from the time he'd been in the league, meaning coordinator – and head coach, and they probably go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
If he had consistency, where would he be, right? If there had been patience, even though there were some bad seasons there, but just think of it. If there had been some patience and he had been able to grow with somebody or somebody had been able to grow with him, because that's really how it works. When you get a coordinator, they figure each other out. They kind of – they know each other really well. It helps. But when you have volatility with staffs, that's where it gets damaging. That's when it gets inconsistent. And that's when the NFL turns into, I don't know, a product that's not watchable sometimes. And we get that every now and then.
By the way, keep an eye on this, obviously, but Freddie Freeman just let a ball handcuff him off the bat of Yadier Molina. Now, to be fair, because it was first and second, one out, and as a righty hitter going down a first base line, that's going to have a little weird juice on the ball, a little spin. And it looked like Freddie, who was a good fielder, was a little obscured by the runner going first to second. It was a one-hopper. It was hit hard, like a cue ball. Knocked it down, boxed it up, but couldn't get it out. So now it's bases loaded. Yadier, obviously, on first base. Bases loaded, just one out, and the Redbirds are up one zip. Yeah, I mean, we'll never know the answer to that question, but the Detroit Lions for years, like a lot of bad franchises, too often, and they're having a good year this year, and I'm happy for them, too often they react to public sentiment.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hear all the whispers, they don't have a plan, they have a plan, they deviate from it, then they go back to it, then they completely abandon it. So it's been, you know, four or five different philosophies run by four or five different men in that building.
Yeah.
And that's never good.
You're never going to win that way.
No.
Yeah, and you're always going to have a good quarterback who never achieves. And that's kind of what Carson Palmer was saying yesterday.
He was.
About Matt Stafford. And I agree with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see him beat some better teams. I would too.
But some of that's not his fault.
That's fair.
I mean, there was a time, BT, where their defense was horrendous. I mean.
And they had no running game.
And
didn't they have a string of like an inordinate amount of games with no 100-yard rusher?
Yeah.
It was like some crazy string.
You're right.
I think maybe even a record.
I think even Indy had that situation as well.
They did.
Until Frank Gore came along.
Yeah, they had that for a while.
They finally clipped the 100-yard bear. But they were winning games. They had Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL is unpredictable in that regard.
70 straight games without a 100-yard rusher for the Lions.
70 straight games.
Wow. how do you rate Brady so far? He doesn't look too good.
Tom? I think with Tom, it's going to be about – With Tom.
I was trying to come back with a witty retort, by the way. I was going to say, Tom. Of course, Tom.
Tom. What
do you say for Brady so far? Tom?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's a world beater. You know what I mean? I think he's, if you take away what he does best, then he's going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But all it takes is one or two big plays and the game's over. It's weird with them. You know, if they get on you and get you on your heels, you're not slowing them down. But if you stifle them, he still has it.
He does.
Yeah, I definitely believe he still has it.
Okay. You know, how much at this point does his mind still win games?
A lot.
I mean, at what point has? Let's take him at his physical apex, age 29. Although it might be now, actually, but you know, conventionally speaking, 28 to 32, maybe a quarterback's prime, somewhere in that window. Whatever his physical prime was he winning? I know it was a fairly equitable distribution, the mind and the physical tools. But at this point, his mind is more than his physical tools.
No, without a doubt.
When do you think that clicked in? When do you think that started to change?
Probably, I don't know.
5 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
Six?
It's probably probably longer, BT. Probably
really?
Like 10.
Wow.
When you put pressure on him, and the Giants exploited this, when you started putting pressure on him, his game went to crap.
He hates pressure.
Of course he does.
He just never feels it.
Goes back to 7, so maybe 12 years ago. And so it's all about manipulating and preparation and the minutia that he's able to do so well at. That's why Peyton Manning was so good. He wasn't the best athlete.
No.
You know what I mean? Didn't have the most elite arm, but he could manipulate the game because he was so much above the X's and O's. And that's how Tom's been for a long time.
Yeah, he's still humming, and they still haven't lost. It's amazing. Coming up next, we've got Warren Moon. Mentioned him before, the great Warren Moon. Is that foul? No, foul ball. Still the bases juiced here for the Cardinals. 2-0, top of the first. No, that's fair? That's horrible radio. I apologize for that. That is fair. That's a 2-run double. 4-0 Cardinals. That place has to be deathly quiet right now.
Which is exactly what we talked about, BT. You're at home, you have a bad first inning, it gets really quiet.
It's exactly what we said in the first hour. Wow. A lot of baseball to go, but that's a huge deficit, and they're not done yet. Still a couple of guys on base. Warren Moon will join us next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line as the carousel continues in Atlanta. This is becoming historically bad. We'll tell you what's happening in a moment. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and at 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. The Cardinals are still not done. Fowler just banged two hopper down the third base line over the bag into foul territory. Another couple of runs score. It's 7-0. 7-0.
With one out.
With one out and still runners on base. And what's crazy about this year, so it's going to be second and third if I have that right. Second and third, yeah. With one out, 7-0. Listen, the Cardinals are hitting everything that's through. Fulton Yevitz didn't have it. I get it. But you have to have somebody in the bullpen warmed up.
Yeah.
I mean, and now poor Max Fried comes in with the bases loaded. His slider's not bending. He can't find anything that remotely looks like it's got any bend. He's throwing flat stuff. That one's hit on the screws in the gap. This is the this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. That's a two-run double.
You're right.
It's 9-0 in the first inning.
With one out.
With one out. Wow. What a performance by the car. Hey, listen, you know what? I don't have a dog in this fight, even though I would like to have seen Acuna play. This is baseball brilliance, right? Talk about having your hitting shoes on.
It's true.
In a do-or-die game. I've never seen anything like this. This is crazy. My God. All right, do we have the great Warren Moon? We do. Bet you Warren Moon would have been like a good right fielder.
Yeah.
Put him third. Could
have
run.
Played baseball.
He had a rocket. Let's ask him. Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer, is with us again. Warren, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, sir? What's going on?
I'm great. Shortstop was my position in left field, not right field.
How long did you do it till, Warren? Did you stop in high school?
I played up until high school. It kind of bored me and a little bit too slow, but it's probably my best sport, believe it or not. And I just didn't feel the challenge that I felt with football and basketball.
Yeah, unless you're a pitcher in baseball. And
take it easy on my sport here, guys. Baseball's still pretty damn awesome.
I mean, there's a shortstop and a left fielder. I mean, sometimes you get some action, but
shortstop's
you're just hanging around.
Left field can get boring.
Yeah, you're right.
You get a lot of action at shortstop.
That's right.
But just the game in general, it's a slow, methodical game. I love watching it, but didn't enjoy playing it as much.
Yeah, I
got you.
I think you took chose the right path.
Worked out for you.
as a Hall of Famer and the National Football League. You know, Warren, obviously Seattle is one of the places that you called home, and we always talk about Russell Wilson, or at least sometimes I think we forget to talk about Russell Wilson and how good he's become. I mean, when he first got to Seattle, it was more about the run game. This guy, I mean, how unbelievable is he to watch and how his game has continued to evolve, especially considering, you know, sometimes they don't have a great offensive line around him. Why has he been able to develop into such an elite player despite not being, you know, prototypical, I guess is the right way to put it?
Well, I think one of the things that helps him is he's very smart. He's very well prepared, and he did that from the first day he came in here as a rookie. I watched him in his first rookie mini camp, and I saw that he had complete control of what they were giving him every day. He was checking off, getting people in the right position, moving guys around, doing all those things in his first weekend here. So you know he was the guy that was going to be prepared. And then the way their offense was structured, it was more of a running game. So he wasn't asked to do as much his first couple of years. But when he was asked to do something, he did it in a big way, whether it was a big strike down the field, whether it was escaping in the pocket and making something happen and throwing it down the field. And he took very, very good care of the ball as a young quarterback. And that's something he's continued to do throughout his career, take very, very good care of the ball. Not one of those guys that's going to throw for astronomical numbers because they don't ask him to throw the ball that much.
Yeah.
But he's probably as productive as any quarterback as far as getting the most out of his attempts of any quarterback in the league. You look at him right now, he's averaging over 9 yards an attempt, and that says something when you have a 73% completion percentage. You're throwing the ball down the field with your low percentage passes, but he's completing them at a very, very high rate.
Yeah, you're right. The average for most people is about 7.5 yards, and the completion percentage over 70 is ridiculous. Now, Warren, I think there's a danger in trying to replicate Russell Wilson, because we see this, right? Baker Mayfield comes into the league. Kyler Murray comes in the league. You start getting these comparisons. You got an athletic-ish quarterback. He's smallish, but he can evolve and grow his game, you know, like Russell Wilson. And we've started to see the league try to go that way. As you've watched quarterbacks evolve, or at least the position evolve and what they've asked quarterbacks to do, it's not as easy as he makes it look. And I'm not sure all these other guys are going to have the success that Russell Wilson does.
No, it's not. And if these coordinators would try and get back and look at some of the things Seattle is doing, if Cleveland would do some of the things that Seattle is doing, what they did against the Ravens last week when they beat them. They ran the football, and then they did some play-action pass, which really helps your young quarterback because he's going to get better protection. He's going to get less underneath coverage by those linebackers because they're worried about the run, and then he's going to get better passing lanes to throw the football to and bigger strikes down the football field with more one-on-one coverage. So many of these coordinators want to get into these fancy passing games because of the way the rules are right now and try and spread it out and open it up. But when you have a young quarterback and you're asking him to sit back there and read all of that and they don't have a great offensive line, you're asking for trouble. So they need to take a script out of what Russell Wilson's been doing since he's been in the league the last 8 years and run the football, play action pass, and that's where you get your big plays.
Agreed, philosophically, but even when they have to go off script and deviate from it, I think too many people wanted to maybe put Baker Mayfield in the athletic category of Russell Wilson, and let's be honest, it's not even close.
No.
I mean, you know, I know you know that, but maybe you can expound on that, because Russell Wilson's an elite uber athlete. Baker Mayfield's a decent athlete, right?
Yeah, you're right. And the difference between decent athlete and a uber athlete is you're going to get sacked and hit a lot as a decent athlete. As an uber athlete, you're going to escape and get outside and make plays with your legs and buy time for your offensive line. So that's the difference between Russell Wilson and some of these other guys. And he's always looking down the field to throw the football. He's not looking to run. He just wants to give himself a little bit more time and a little bit more vision. And he's very accurate when he throws the football on the run. You saw that throw he made the other night. Going to his left. Nobody else in the league but maybe two or three other guys probably could have made that throw, and especially going to the left. So I know how difficult that is. So he's a very, very special player. He works at it. Brian Schottenheimer and him have a really good chemistry going right now, having been with him last year, and now he really understands what Russell does best. And those are the things he's incorporating into the offense, and that's what most good offensive coordinators are going to do. They're going to do the things that their quarterback does best.
And you're talking about that great throw when his hips were basically facing the sideline, and he dropped in that sweet dime to lock it in the left part of the back end zone. You say two or three guys in the NFL made that throw. I just think it's one. I don't even think Aaron Rodgers makes that throw. Aaron. I don't.
Believe it or not, Aaron made that throw last year in the playoffs against Dallas. I think it was a 3rd and 25 or something like that.
Not with his body tilted. Warren, not with his body tilted in that direction. It was not. I thought it was a tougher throw for Russell, with all due respect. I really did.
It might have been a tougher throw, especially up here in the in the conditions, you know, it's a little bit wet out there as well. So that was a very, very special throw. You know, I used to make that throw back in 87.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. From shortstop, right? From shortstop.
Exactly. When you play baseball, you look at the guys that have played baseball, they're playing quarterback right now.
It's very true.
They're able to make all those off-platform throws like that because that's what happens in baseball all the time.
There's no doubt. That's the Hall of Famer. Warren Moon is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You know, you talk about the Cowboys there, obviously the playoffs last season, but the Cowboys this year were thought to be the contender, especially coming out of the NFC. And after 3 weeks, albeit against inferior opponents, they looked the part. Things have, like, turned around the last 2 weeks, and they've played not great. Dak hasn't looked, you know, as crisp as he did early on. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're worried about them, aren't you?
A little bit. You know, I'm worried more about the injuries to their offensive line. They have both tackles out now.
Yeah,
and most NFL teams that lose both of their offensive tackles, no matter how good they are, you know, Tyron Smith, one of the best at his position, but you lose both of your guys, you know, that's one position where you don't get great quality backup tackles in this league. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on your quarterback. It also takes away some of their running game with Ezekiel Elliott. So that's going to set your offense back a little bit. The big thing for the Cowboys, they can't turn the football over the way they have.
Yeah.
As long as they take care of the ball, I think still with their defense the way they play, they're going to be okay. But if they keep giving their defense more opportunities to be on the field, that's not a defense that's geared towards teams having time of possession against them because they're not that big. They're a really quick, fast flowing defense, but you can pound on them if you have enough opportunities.
I'm with you. And Warren, let's be honest. I mean, Tegan and I both like Dak Prescott. We both think he's a franchise quarterback, but there are varying levels of franchise quarterback, and not every franchise quarterback is built or conditioned based on a skill set to come back from multiple score deficiencies, and I believe that Dak is one of those guys. If you're down 14-3, 17-3, 21-10, whatever, 24-10, you're going to see more and more mistakes from him because he's just not built to make all those throws. Do you agree?
I do agree, and there are some quarterbacks that are system-type guys. I think he's a little bit more of a system-type guy.
Agreed.
But I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry your football team with his arm. If Ezekiel Elliott was out for a number of weeks and you had to rely on Dak to throw for 300, 400 yards every week on 35 attempts, that's not what's going to be best for him. So he has to have those other pieces around him for you to get the best out of him. Then he can do the things that it takes to lead you where you want to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right read. Another team in the NFC East that seems to be in turmoil right now is the Washington Redskins. They fired Jay Gruden. Who knows what happens with the rest of this season? But I think the more important question is what happens with Dwayne Haskins? We've seen this, and it doesn't work out when a coach that drafts you gets fired, and so nobody really owns you. You fall into an abyss sometimes. We saw it with Geno Smith back with the Jets when he had three or four different coordinators. We saw it with Josh Rosen when the Arizona Cardinals draft Kyler Murray. It's a little
Jared
dangerous.
Goff his first year
Jared
with the Rams,
Goff, but he
Fisher.
Survived it because they had the right coach coming after. You know, this is dangerous for Dwayne Haskins. You know, how does he stay, I guess, level through this? Because that's the only way he comes out of it.
Well, hopefully ownership and management will bring him in and let him know how they feel about him and what they're going to try and do for him with the next head coach hire. Because there's a lot of talk that Jake Gruden didn't even want to draft him, but Daniel Snyder did. You know, he's got Doug Williams there who's an African-American quarterback who's a guy that he can lean on as a mentor. They just need to look at the next coach who comes in. It's got to be a guy who's going to build around what Dwayne Haskins can do because he's a very gifted player. I think everybody knows that. But he didn't play a lot of college football, so everybody knew he wasn't ready to step in right away as a rookie either. And if you look at what happened with Patrick Mahomes, he comes in, sits the whole year behind Alex Smith except for one game, and then he's able to have a whole season plus another offseason.
Yep.
Then he comes in and he's much more comfortable in the offense. And I think that's what Dwayne needs. And if he cannot have to play this year, I think that'll be the best thing for him. And then they can look and go out and find a coach that's best fit to take advantage of his skills. And I think that's what they need to do in Washington.
Warren, I wanted to ask you this real quick, and it's the last thing with Warren Moon, because I think it's important for our younger fans to know your route and the road that you took. When you make 9 Pro Bowls, and you make the Hall of Fame, and you put up the numbers that Warren Moon put up. Just go to profootballreference.com. There's a lot of bold and italics there. He was good. But you didn't start playing until you were 28 in the NFL. And you and I, Antique, have had this discussion why. We all know your route was blocked because of the perception of the black quarterback back in the day. You sound as if you've let go of any ill will, any resentment. Number one, have you? I'm curious if you fully have. And if so, how long did it take to actually get past that? Because I got to be honest, if I was you, I would carry that for a long time.
Well, I carried it throughout my career. It was kind of like that chip on my shoulder that kept me motivated to prove that I belonged in that league. And even though I achieved that type of status of being an All-Pro and all those types of things, it was still something that still burned inside of me, and it kept me motivated to keep trying to be the best. So. I gave that up probably after I made my first Pro Bowl, and that's when I knew I had arrived and became one of the best players in the league. But the thing I'm most proud of is what it's done for other African-American quarterbacks that are playing today. You know, what Randall did when he played at the same time as me, what Doug Williams was able to do winning a Super Bowl and the way I was able to play, I think we helped open the gates for that next group of African-American quarterbacks to come in and get those opportunities to be first-round draft picks, to be first overall picks in the draft, because we opened up the mindset of owners and general managers around the league that we could play at a high level. Now you look at Russell Wilson's the highest-paid player in the league as an African-American quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is the reigning MVP as an African-American quarterback. The first overall pick in the draft is Kyler Murray, an African-American quarterback. I sit back and I'm proud that I played a little bit of part in some of that happening.
I think that's a really important story to tell. It's why I wanted you. We've discussed this. We've had you on a few times, but new audience. Not everybody heard it. I thought that was really important, especially given some of the trends we see now. And great stuff, Warren Moon. Just a great arm, could sling it. Hall of Famer. Appreciate you, Warren. Thank you very much, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
You know it. We got your digits. Fielding well at shortstop, buddy. Finally, the inning's finally over. Hey, oh, it's over. Jay, is that some of the craziest stuff you've ever seen in your life?
Some records, BT, some records.
We got some baseball records. You're going to love it if you're a Cardinals fan. You'll detest them if you're a Braves fan. Tonio's good on the jams for a young pup. He's 23. He knows his way around the old stuff. That a boy. All right, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. Get to the blast as well. Today's question, let's go for this one here. Larry in Iowa says, guys, have you ever seen a crazier first inning than the Cards, Braves, and baseball ever in the playoffs, no less? I mean, I've seen a lot of wacky occurrences. To this day, I still don't know why. I'm thankful, but I don't know why Mark Walters decided to throw a slider to Jim Leyritz in 96 with a couple of guys on base, even though Leyritz couldn't come close to touching his fastball, at least in terms of squaring it up. There's been some wacky individual occurrences, but this, how about this? This is how the Cardinals' first inning went. By the way, it's 10-0. Walk, sack, bunt, RBI single, error on Freddie Freeman, RBI walk, two-run double, intentional walk, RBI walk to the pitcher, by the way, two-run double, fly out to right field, drop third strike, safe at first, run scores, ground out to third base. Had to be at least 50 minutes. I'm going to say the answer is no.
Yeah, I would agree.
You going to co-sign that, Teague? Yeah. That is craziness right there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. So the way baseball goes, tonight we'll get a 1-0 nail biter. The complete antithesis to this.
Yeah, you're right.
I'd be great with Strasburg and Bueller.
Yeah.
I'll take a little 1-0. Yeah, zippage.
I kind of feel bad for this, like the fans here, because this game is going to be forever. I mean, it was at least 45 minutes.
Do you just go home?
That's a great, probably not. I would wait till I'm fifth inning or so, fourth inning.
Here's why you can't leave. Because it is a major league record, by the way. Most runs scored in the postseason history of Major League Baseball.
In an inning.
In an inning. Yep. To start a game. And in an inning. You get a chance to see something historic if you stick around. Maybe you win 11-10.
Maybe.
You never know. All right, let's get to the blast. Here we go, guys.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. Coach K has spoken up. He is in favor. He supports the Fair Pay for Play Act, which was recently passed in California. Are we surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. Coach K has always been progressive in so many different ways. He even came current and did the one-and-done thing. So, but I think he realizes that the NCAA has been antiquated for a long time as it pertains to compensating players and rewarding players, I guess, is the way that it goes. And let's be real. I mean, if he's getting guys that are going to be there for a year and not having to worry about the downstream, I put this in quotes, team building that other coaches talk about, then why wouldn't he be in favor of it?
Yeah, I don't believe him. I got to be honest with you. He always plays the political line. He straddles that generally. I do believe he is in favor of most good things. I don't believe that he's his character is without. I'm not imputing his character. However, think about this logically. When is that going to actually go through 2023?
Yeah.
Is he going to still be coaching?
Probably not.
Okay. Actually. He's got 5 5-stars already wrapped up next year. He's going to be great until the day he retires. So I don't think it really impacts him. And I don't think he cares.
Good point.
How about this? The Philadelphia Flyers, this is incredible. Announced yesterday, might want to put one in SunTrust Stadium so the fans can go and do this. They announced that the Wells Fargo Center now has a disassembly room. Well, what is that? It's the first ever rage room in a sports arena. Is this a clever idea?
Yeah, I think it is pretty clever.
I think, but just to be clear, it's for the players, not for the fans, right? I mean, the fans could go in here and do that. No, that's not clever at all. That's asking for trouble.
No,
I mean, that's asking for trouble.
I thought you were talking about players.
I thought this was just. Are you sure? Because I thought I saw one of the players smashing it into submission with a stick. If you're going to open this room up to the fans,
by the way, you get these guys like in the dugout, like smashing Gatorade bottles and like breaking stuff, and
savages.
But for the fans?
Wow, fans?
Wow.
That's a little dangerous. That could be opening a box of danger.
You can only let one in there at a time, right? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. Is there security? I need more details, but at first glance or first hear, by the way, the Cardinals still scoring. Wow. I don't like this for the fans. Player, I thought it was for the players. Fans? I don't know about that. All right, Florida State's going to use two quarterbacks, and this is going to be against Clemson coming up on Saturday. Is Willie Taggart getting desperate? Yeah, I think he is getting desperate. I think he has good reason to get desperate.
Yeah.
But I would also file this under creative. I mean, I think everything that happens moving forward for him at Florida State is laced with an element of desperation based on a start. But I think he's trying to coach around an incredible disparity in talent, and he's trying to do so creatively. Yeah. I got no problem with it.
Yeah, agreed. Look, I didn't love Alex Hornibrook when he was at Wisconsin, but currently at Florida State, maybe it's just a different level of wide receiving talent. Look, his numbers are pretty big, 73%, 500 yards, 9.5 yards down the field. He's throwing the ball well, effectively, consistently. Of course you got to do this, because if he gives you a better chance to win based on the talent around him, you got to go with the hot hand if you're Willie Taggart.
I'm with you. Ben Simmons. We talked about this about a month or so ago. Yeah. This came up. He, because there was video that surfaced and it looked somewhat polished here. He was playing where he was complaining about getting double teamed in the pickup games. There was some video footage that emerged from there where he was actually stroking a few threes. So Ben Simmons hit a three in a preseason game last night. Will he become adequate from downtown?
No, I don't think he's becoming adequate.
Adequate meaning what? North of 30%? That's probably a decent barometer. North of at least 30% or better.
At least 30% where the defense. He keeps the defense honest.
Yeah, I'd say that's around 30%. Obviously, if you're above 40, you're elite. 37%
is take
good.
Like more than five a game, and then I think people will think he's honest because he's bound to make at least one or two.
Hey, so. He rose up with some confidence. He was about 26 and a half feet out there. I was not a shorty.
But they were winning by 40. Whoever they were playing, some European team.
It doesn't matter. It's the laboratory to experiment.
True, but the guy who was guarding him was probably my height.
So what? The small guys in the NBA. He's got a tower over anybody who's guarding him because he's 6'10". He's a guard.
True, but still.
Unless he's going to turn into Ray Allen here or Larry Bird or Chris Mullin or Steph Curry, he's going to keep you honest a little bit. And I said that a month ago, and I believe it even more after seeing that. Yeah. Goodyear has partnered with Airbnb for fans looking to attend the Notre Dame-Michigan football game on October 26th. Aside from getting tickets to the game, three separate sets of fans will have the chance to stay overnight in the blimp.
Mm.
The blimp will act as a hotel room. Is this a cool idea? This is the coolest idea I've ever heard of. This is phenomenal.
Yeah. By the way, it's going to be in the air. It's going to be in the hangar.
It's
still cool.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be floating.
It's a cool idea. It looks neat. But
yeah,
I mean,
it's unique,
it'd
right?
It'd be much better if you were actually, 5,000 feet in the air.
That would be sick. By the way, the Airbnb. Go ahead. Bang us out here, guys.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I've never done that. I'm a hotel guy, as you are.
Yep.
And so basically an Airbnb is basically where you just go to somebody's apartment and they give you the keys, you pay them money, and that's it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust that for the life. I wouldn't know where cameras are. I wouldn't trust that at all.
I mean, there's probably definitely cameras so you don't like jack stuff up or steal anything.
Well, I hear you, but it means you can't do anything. Who the hell wants to live under those conditions? D-Cell does. What?
I did an Airbnb for a bachelor party, and it actually wasn't even an apartment.
For a bachelor party?
It was a house.
Is that where you held the party?
Yeah, that's where we stayed.
Oh, you got video on you for the rest of your life. You're dead. what dope holds a bachelor party at an Airbnb?
It's cheaper.
Horrendous.
Cheaper.
And I mean, I don't think there were cameras there if you saw where we stayed.
I don't think there were cameras there. Yeah, that's going to hold up 4 years into your marriage. Hey, honey, what's this? That was
before his girl.
But how do you know, like, the sheets are clean? No, I'm not implying that he did anything wrong. Maybe some of his buddies. Like, the sheets or that there's cleanliness. I don't. Ugh. Nah, I couldn't do that, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, how long ago was this?
That's probably 4 years ago.
Yeah, so
mid-20s.
You were young enough that it didn't matter. You didn't care. Dirty sheets or not.
I was 27 years old. 27 years old, you're a grown man.
Yeah, but
if you go through Europe when you're 21, when you get out of, that's one thing. 27, come on.
I mean, there is a standard for Airbnnb.
Are there?
Yeah.
Is it governed? I mean, or I don't know if that's the proper word, but is there some sort of overpowering umbrella that makes sure everything's up to code?
I don't know, but I'm positive you're not walking into some like slum house.
This guy's never staying in Airbnb. Never.
Never.
I know that. Cardinals still scoring. We will see you tomorrow. Dodgers or Nats? Who wins?
Dodgers.
I'll take the Dodgers as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.